We are so glad that you have decided to join us today for the Bridge for Peace Healing to the Nations podcast with Annette Eckhart. On this weekly podcast, which comes out every Wednesday, Annette interviews a member of the Bridge for Peace family. If you would like to learn more about our ministry or help us by becoming a financial partner, visit our website at bridgeforpeace.org. We hope you enjoy the interview and that you are inspired to walk closer to Jesus. Here is Annette.
Welcome to the Bridge for Peace program. We are Bridge for Peace, bringing healing to the nations through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm Annette Eckhart here with you in our New York studio once again with my very special guest, my very special friend, Barbara Mercier. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. So honored to be here. As always, amazing.
It's been wonderful to be together and to hear those inspirational stories that you've shared. I've just been so blessed, and I know everyone who's listened has been really blessed by you. But today I have an agenda. Usually we're just, let's float with the spirit, but today I really have an agenda because you and your husband, Tom, went to the Ukraine on mission. Mm-hmm. I know that everyone would really be blessed to hear how you heard the call, how you responded to it, and then what happened once you actually got there. Would you share with us some of your story about your mission to the Ukraine?
Yes, absolutely. So I will tell you, interestingly, the Lord put Ukraine on my heart decades ago. And it I would attend Christ for the Nations in Stony Brook, and where I really felt like God opened up my vision and understanding of that nations are important to God. In that period of time, it was way back, maybe like in the late 80s, early 90s, and we would get medical publications with stories and pictures. Communism had just, the wall of communism had just fallen. And I would look at these publications and see the desperation. And there was something about Ukraine. Once again, I would stare at the pictures of the kids. They needed medical care. They needed help. And something inside of me began to be stirred about that way back then. Mm. Okay. Our first mission trip to Ukraine. It was not our first mission trip as a family. That's a different story. But to Ukraine was in 1995. So the wall of communism had come down, and it was still, communism was still pretty fresh. We got there, the hammer and sickle was all over. The people were very, we were warned as Americans from New York, just don't act too American and don't act too New Yorkish.
So Barbara, just to back up for a moment and tell us about the hammer and sickle, which age is familiar, but some people may.
Okay, so that was the symbol of the communist culture, the communist regime, the hammer and the sickle. And I think it was basically, you belong to the state, you belong to the government, and the government had total control. So our first ministry trip to Ukraine was in 1995. And I will say to you that the people, when we got there, we listened to their stories. We were invited into their homes. They told us what it had been like under communism. And we heard their hearts. And we fell in love with the nation of people, not the government of Ukraine, but the people were rich and beautiful and had stories to tell and hearts that we so appreciated. And we began to be, we met a gentleman who had given his whole life to the Lord, a full-time missionary.
And just let me ask you, Barbara, just to define rich.
Rich. Rich in the heritage and the story of how they survived and how they came through, how they would tell us stories. For example, one family said, we were in their apartment. These were Jews, and they invited us into their apartment, and they said to us, We were asking them about pictures that they had in their house, and we said, "Who's that? Who's this?" And they said, "Oh, well, that was my uncle." And they said to us, "If you had a thought that did not align with the government, you wouldn't dare whisper it to your spouse in bed at night because you would hear a knock on the door and somebody could be taken away." And how they survived and how they strengthened one another and how they, just navigated their lives, trying to hold on to family, So just, I would say the richness is the appreciation for the beauty of who they are as people.
Okay, so many times we hear rich, we associate it with economics.
Not at all. Not at all. The beauty of the character of the individual people. And so we became very involved with a ministry. It's called Arise Ukraine, and we have gone back to the nation for years, since 1995.
Now, you were going to tell us the story of a gentleman that you met when you were there in 95.
So this gentleman, excuse me, Anita.
Surely, yes, it's just wonderful that you've able to share these experiences with us. We're very appreciative.
So this gentleman was young man, and he about 35, and he was called by God. He had been wealthy in American terms and successful, but God called him to the mission field, and he went and he had given his life to serve the Lord as a missionary in Ukraine, and he was the leader of our team. And we went with my husband and I and our three children, and we just this man was fun. He was smart. His story was incredible. And the doors in Ukraine were opening up for the gospel. And so we just became very close and strongly involved. And we have been part of that organization, Arise Ukraine, that this gentleman named Paul continues to lead to this day. So we've gone to Ukraine to work with churches. We've gone to villages. We've gone to people's homes, and we have come to really, really, really appreciate the Ukrainian people as we've heard their stories. So this has been part of our life, and we've gone back regularly. So when the war happened, when we saw the news and they showed the people's faces and we saw the streets, I said, "We walked in Kyiv. We were on that street. We were in that village. We've held their hands. We've looked in their eyes. This is not okay." And our hearts were just, this is not just a war on the news anywhere. These are people that we love with the love of God. We know it's a God thing. And so there's another organization that we are a part of. I might have mentioned earlier, Crisis Response International. It's an organization with people from all over the nation, and they run to disasters, whether it's a tornado or an earthquake or anything. And as soon as they announced, "We're praying about going to Ukraine, we'll pray about whether or not you're invited to go," immediately I knew, yeah, how can we not? How can we not go? And so, we began to just kind of put one foot in front of the other and make plans. I do have a little bit of a funny story in the midst of it. At that time, they were not going into Ukraine. They were going to Poland to work with the refugees who were crossing the border. And so we signed up for that. I kind of jump in all in full on. My husband, thank God, is very cautious and careful. And he weighs and measures things. And, so we got to the gate at JFK, and the leader of our organization was so excited. He was on a Zoom meeting with us to pray and bless us as we left. He said, "Guess what? God made a way for us to go right into Ukraine." And my husband looked at me and he said, "I signed up for Poland." And I was excited, and we just looked at each other. Well, what are you going to do? We're at the gate. We're going. And then so we flew in, and then we got to Poland, stayed overnight, and then a vehicle took us into Ukraine. Here's the second funny thing. Our adult children were they have us on their on phone on their navigator, Find My Friend. They saw us going down into Ukraine. And we started to get text messages from our kids. Mom and Dad, what do you think you're doing? Make good choices. And so our kids had, you know, they were very concerned. So so we went into Ukraine. We got to a refugee center. It was an old, broken down Soviet style hospital. And what I mean by that, it was just bleak. It was bleak. It was not very, just didn't look, the appearance was kind of very unpleasant. And we stayed there. They were just your everyday average person living their life. And a war started. Mm-hmm. And they had to flee from where they were and just get somewhere where they could survive. And so one of the first things that happened was we got to this refugee center. And even though we were prepared to do medicine and healthcare, that really wasn't what was needed. What was needed was simply to bring the peace and the presence of the love of God, which is not something you could muster up and manufacture. Only God could do this. And so one of the first rooms we went into, these were like little old hospital type rooms. There were six people staying in the room, a grandmother, her daughter-in-law, and a granddaughter. And we walked into the room and they were just there. They had left everything in their home behind them. And we just sat down and through a translator, we would listen to their stories about how they had left everything and how terrifying it was. And one of the things that we learned is that touch to many of these people is important. And I sat next to an older lady in her 80s. And I held her hands and I looked in her eyes and I said, can I rub your back? Can I rub your feet? She wanted me to rub her feet. And as I rubbed her feet, she began to tell through a translator her story about how she left everything. She said, please forgive me because I had to run away without my dentures. And that's how fast that she had to leave town. And I listened to her and I rubbed her feet and I sat beside her and held her hands and looked in her eyes and just spoke to her about the love of Jesus for her, that he feels your heart. He sees your pain. He wants to put his strong arms around you to receive his love. Can we do that? And she did. We just wept together and held hands and we released the powerful love of Jesus into her. And then it overflowed and went to each of the other ones that were in that room. And this precious lady, for the rest of the time that we were there, she would introduce me as her best friend. But she met Jesus. Do we have time for another great story?
We don't even have time for another great story because I would love you to pray. We just have a few seconds and we're going to close with your prayer.
Amen. Amen. So, Lord, right now I know you see people who may be in the atmosphere of a war, or they may be feeling the call to go and step into the place of the atmosphere of war and devastation. You see all of it. And Father, whether each one is in the place of warfare or whether they are feeling your call, we declare your authority right now, Father, to order and orchestrate and navigate your power to come into every life situation to respond to you. Whether it is the call to go or whether it's the heart of Jesus that needs to be received, Father God, we just thank you that you are over and in and through all of it. So we release your power and your Holy Spirit and your peace right into their every immediate situation. And we thank you for that. In your name, Jesus.
We hope you have enjoyed this inspiring episode of the Bridge for Peace Healing to the Nations podcast with Annette Eckhart. If you would like to learn more about the ministries of Bridge for Peace or help us continue publishing these podcasts by becoming a financial partner, please go to our website, bridgeforpeace.org. If you desire to learn more about praying for healing and understanding all that the grace of God provides for you through the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ, check out our Foundation e-courses on our website. Also, if you have any questions, need prayer, or have a story to share, email us at info@bridgeforpeace.org. Please join us every Wednesday for more inspiring interviews with Annette. This is Scott Silverberg for Bridge for Peace founders Ed and Annette Eckhart, wishing you a blessed day and hoping that you would allow Jesus to become your bridge for peace.